into this state of disunion.
You didn't like the speech? I'm just shocked.
I know, man. I tell you what I did like. Shout out to Marjorie Taylor Greene, a true patriot. A true patriot. I mean, not everybody in D.C. is a corrupt rhino or Democrat. We do have Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Lauren Yogurt Boebert. So here is Joe Biden. Here is Joe Biden saying that the COVID vaccine is going to be used to cure cancer.
The vaccine that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback.
A setback is just a setup for a comeback. Who writes this stuff?
I don't know. I mean, it was, I think I was texting you. I'm sure I was texting you the whole speech, and several other people were getting messages from. I think I really liked the beginning, like when he was on the Adderall real hard, you know, like at the beginning of the speech, when he was like, let's basically take down Putin.
No. And that was not Adderall.
Or meth, or whatever you want to call it.
They had the Hitler cocktail.
That's PCP. That was PCP.
That explains the wild, angry outburst.
Yeah, that part when he was like, you know, let's go destroy the Russians, I was all in on that. But then it just kind of like veered off into, like, I wrote down some sections of it that I thought were really disjointed. One point he says,
what about the prescription drugs in Moscow?
That was confusing. And then there was, we're going to ban AI voices and bring home our troops. Did you hear that in like one sentence?
No.
Like, I was like, what is that? Like, where does that, how does that go together?
What about when he threatened the Supreme Court?
He said something about empowering women, and then said, "You're going to see what they can do now." I think that's what he said.
Let's listen to him in his own words.
And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you are right about that.
He said, "You're about to realize." Basically, he told him, "Fafo."
Electoral or political power.
Send the president a shirt.
You're about to realize just how much you
realize. You're about to realize just how much.
Did you notice one thing he was doing during the whole debate? He kept on coughing a lot. It was constant, you know. And I thought that was kind of distracting during the whole thing. I don't know, like, was he sick or did he need a chest X-ray? That's what I kept noticing. But here's what, all seriousness, there was two things I thought were good. I thought the Putin stuff, because I love that stuff, because you know my feelings on that. Then he went into January 6th, which was kind of cringeworthy to me. Like, I didn't think it was appropriate for that point in time. I would have just left that out. You know, the State of the Union is not supposed to be political. This was probably the most political State of the Union speech, according to even all the pundits that
listened.
It wasn't
a State of the Union.
Yeah, it was a campaign speech, which is not really supposed to be. Then he went into the abortion issue. I thought that was really good when he pointed out the lady from Texas. Because, you know, if you're a Democrat right now, Clay, that's the issue you got. I mean, you got to run with what you got, because you don't got the economy. You don't got immigration. You're losing on all those by the numbers. Abortion's the only thing that you're kind of winning. So you
got to run on killing babies.
You got to run on it. Yeah, I mean, well, that's what you got to do. I mean, because that's what you're winning with the public on. So, but then after that, it went into all this stuff. Then he started talking about Lincoln Riley, you know, who's the coach of Nebraska, not Lakin Riley. Did you hear him call him Lincoln Riley?
I did. I got it in my notes over here.
And I was like, wait a second, isn't that the coach of Nebraska or something? Like, you know, I mean, I don't know. It was just, I really paid attention for the first 30 minutes that I thought was okay. But after that, it was so disjointed that I couldn't make sense of most of it. It was really difficult. And then, of course, then after it, there was the Republican response. Did you watch that?
I watched I did not, but Allison actually sent me a screenshot because people were talking so bad about it.
Yeah.
But I was getting ready to go to bed, so I watched it this morning when I got up. Well, about a 5-minute excerpt. Not a strong, I mean, she's a pretty lady, but wait, is she running for class president?
I thought she was on QVC, like, you know, like, hey, look, and if you act now for $9.99, you can get this hammer and we'll fix the country together.
Let's take a call real quick. Hey, you're on there.
What's going on? Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, brother.
Hey, when they was coming in, one of the dudes was wiping his nose real hard, and Joe was getting the coughing from that, you know, that run back you get from when they do that to Coca-Cola.
Probably what it was, they had
I'm
to
sure
wake him
Hunter
up a little
was
bit.
In the back somewhere. That's where he was, because it was a dude when he was coming in, he was wiped under his nose with a straight finger. I'm like, you know, like he was, you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, man, that was kind of strange. And Joe got down and got the cough. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what they've been doing. And you know how he kept rubbing his hands?
Yeah, you know, just like old What's-Her-Name did in the Joe, who's the girl that accused Captain Jack Sparrow of the one he was dating?
Oh, Amber Heard.
Amber Heard, when she was sniffing a little bit.
Yeah.
It's called a bullet. I ain't saying I've ever had one, but I may have seen one.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a bullet. You know, you kind of have it and go on about your business.
Yeah.
Hey, heard of it. Was it just me or my TV, or did it seem like that room was darker last night, not as lit up as it normally is?
Who were all the women dressed up like Klans people?
I saw your tweet last night. I couldn't stop laughing about that.
I'm going to jump over here. I know you're getting ready to go to your break, man. You got to be safe up there in that weather.
Appreciate Thanks, it, Chris. Man. Take care, brother. Good hearing from you.
I have a blessed one. Be safe.
You too. Yeah, I mean, why were Democrats dressed up in their former Democrats' robes last night?
I'll tell you, I was watching that with Renee last night, and he said, did you just see what Clay put on Twitter? And I swear to God, I fell out of the chair.
What did I put?
Like, it was something about, like, do they look like, you know, they're in the Klan or something.
Yeah. I'm like, and Democrats just, they miss the mark so much. With these progressive left people, they miss the mark so much, trying to do things in solidarity.
I don't like any of that. I didn't like what Marjorie Taylor Greene, I know you did. I didn't like it. I thought I think it's disrespectful to the proceeding there. I didn't like what they did. I mean, Democrats have done that before. Republicans have done it. I don't like any of it. I feel like there should be some decorum in that setting, but there isn't anymore. And this goes on both sides. It happens both times. And I don't like it.
If I could pick, I would do without all of it.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's just horrible.
But like, if we're going to get into a peeing match, I want Marjorie Taylor Greene on my side.
Yeah, I mean,
I need a little. I like a little white trash.
It was. She looked like she was from the truck stop. I mean, I get it. You know, but I feel like it's just, you know, we've descended into this just lack of complete respect for the institution at all, and I hate it. From, you know, and both sides play that game, and it's distracting and stupid, quite frankly.
How about the man that got kicked out for shouting at Joe?
What was he yelling? I couldn't tell.
So his name is Steve Nikoi.
Okay.
He was arrested and charged with misdemeanor for interrupting Biden tonight. His son was killed at Abbeygate during Joe Biden's withdrawal from Kabul.
Okay.
Kabul.
That was about Afghanistan?
He was yelling Abbeygate.
Oh, okay.
So I had to look it up because I wasn't aware. And frankly, I did not know that was called Abbeygate.
I didn't know that until just now. Is that what it was called? Okay.
Abbeygate. And so, yeah, I didn't have a problem with that. Your kid got killed because of a blunder.
Now I don't either, and I can see exactly what you're saying.
I would have loved for Lake and Riley's parents to have been in there hollering, say her name. I know Marjorie Taylor Greene was, and that's when Marjorie Taylor Greene shouted, say her name.
But those
and
are
he said, Lincoln Riley.
That's also different than what you're talking about, a parent, you know, and in those situations. I can see
I'm just talking about outburst in general.
Yeah, from that perspective, that happening. But I'm talking about the actual members of Congress and the Senate that are acting like this is the problem that I have.
Did you see Kamala standing behind him? She had just sat down, and he said something about standing up, and she stood up, and she was like, they had a buzzer on her seat.
I noticed though,
dance, Mike, Kamala.
Did you notice Mike Johnson though was agreeing with him most of the time, and then he would get frustrated, but I felt like he was agreeing with him a lot.
I'm 6'1", weigh half a dozen on Mike. I was hot on Mike at first, and I've seen he's just another Kevin McCarthy. But, like, he was kind of nodding his head a little bit at stuff. Like, what is this old man talking about? Yes, and then the opposite, too. So I saw him nodding in agreement and nodding in disagreement.
It was just kind of strange. And then here's, I don't want to forget this. So some of it was going okay for a moment. You know, he was getting a little groove there. And then he starts talking about shrinkflation, which I was like, it was so stupid at that point.
He's obsessed with getting less chips in your bag.
I don't care about
they
that.
They do that because of inflation.
I mean, it's just, I just was like, this is the dumbest topic.
We'll all be less fat.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I have anybody, a hard time.
Is this healthcare? Sorry.
I have a hard time taking it serious if you're concerned about how many potato chips you're getting in a bag.
I mean, right, it's one of the dumbest things I've heard. Like, okay, great. I read the other day that we have 20 less sheets on the toilet paper roll or something like that. I mean, I don't know if this is the most pressing issue facing the country. To bring it up during the State of the Union.
Ridiculous.
A little bit.
All right, let's take a break. Come back. We'll have a short segment, and then we got a whole another hour to go here with Sean Yerkeron on The Clay Edwards Show. Guys, don't forget Acme Pizza and Daiquiri's tonight. It's the weekend. Get out there, hear some live entertainment. They'll have a one-man acoustical jam type thing going on tonight. And then tomorrow night, I believe they will have their old-school throwback 90s dance DJs after 9 o'clock. It's always going to be free to get in. Get out there, enjoy from 4 p.m. to midnight. 12 different specialty pizzas. You can always build your own pie. Made from scratch. Dough is made in-house. Everything. If you get anything with the barbecue pulled pork on it, it's smoked fresh in-house. Big smoker out back there. Try Acme Pizza and Daiquiri's. And don't forget, The 9 different frozen daiquiris on tap are available to go. It's all available for delivery, carry out, and, of course, dine-in. Acme Pizza and Daiquiris, Fan and Mart, right in front of the bowling alley on the Reservoir.
Yeah, I really think I was trying to look at it as objectively as I could. And like I said earlier, last segment, I thought the beginning of it was very good. And of course, you know, the issue that I care about is destroying the Russians, quite frankly. And I thought he did a good job there. What I didn't like was when he jumped from that, segued into January 6th, that made it completely political so quickly, where you automatically, I mean, the chamber's already divided, I get that, you just automatically put everybody on defensive in that setting.
Well, on the defense with saying we're at war at two fronts for our democracy, one with Russia and one here at home.
I didn't like that at all.
This America that Republicans are a threat to democracy. First off, we're a republic, not a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're at a, it's a threat to Democrat rule.
Yeah, especially with the stuff that you've seen with the prosecutions of Trump. I thought it was just an ill time's the word I'm looking for.
Truly gaslighting.
I just didn't like it at that point, just to be honest with you. And I really do feel like I'm being objective about the whole thing, because I did like the first part. I did not like that at all. I thought it was just inappropriate, and it just wasn't. You know, it's an issue also for the Democrats. What they don't understand, it's an issue that is not swaying a lot of voters anyway, that they've tried to this, you know. What they're trying to do is, I was listening to something the other day, both sides are trying to say, I'm going to vote against the guy. Like, that's what they're doing. But that doesn't always work. It's like, you got to vote for something. And Biden is trying, his campaign, which is really poorly run, in my opinion, is trying to make it like you've got to vote against Trump and this democracy thing. But you're not really saying what you're going to do, you know, and that's a problem. Like, Barack Obama, whether you like him or hate him, I mean, of course, I like him. He gave a message of, like, hope. And whether you agreed with that or whatever, but there was something that people wanted to vote for. You weren't voting against something. Now Biden is out there saying, we're going to, you know, you're voting against a threat to democracy, and it's just not working. And furthermore, it wasn't appropriate in that venue, I didn't think, at that time. So that part I didn't like. I did like after that, though, he segued into abortion. Now, if you're a Democrat, that's a good thing to run on, because that's the only issue numbers wise that you're winning on. So you gotta use that. Like, and so he did that. Then after that portion, it just became into, like, what I used to call, what I used to prosecute cases when the defense would throw up what's called the spaghetti defense, like throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and see what sticks. And I didn't, I wasn't able to, understand exactly what he was trying to do at that point, because he just kept on saying things like, we're going to ban AI voices. And then he would say, we're going to bring the troops home. And then he jumped in again, like we were talking about, that shrinkflation thing that he ran the Super Bowl commercial for, which I don't know that that's an issue that anybody's ever thought about. I've never sat around a table with my friends and said, okay, have you worried about the fact that there's 20 sheets less on the toilet paper roll than there was before? I've just never been able to do that. And it just became completely disjointed for the rest of the speech. And I didn't understand what he was getting at. So he kind of lost me there. And then, of course, you know, after that, we go into the Republican response, which was just, quite frankly, just as bad. Like, the lady, again, I was saying before, like, she looked like she was on QVC trying to sell me a hammer or something, and I don't know what. And she was overly dramatic, kind of like a Charlton Heston movie, you know, like Planet of the Apes or something, where she's yelling and constantly going into that. So, like, that was pretty bad, too. But all in all, you know, the bar was set really low for Joe Biden, and I think he met it in terms of, he didn't pass out, so that's good. But the bar was already set really low, so we assumed that, you know, like, was he going to pass out? Was he just going to lose himself? He didn't do that. But in terms of political rhetoric, I thought that was bad. It's not supposed to be a campaign speech. And if you listen to even all the pundits and people that have watched the State of the Union for years, they all remarked that that was something they didn't like, was that this became a fiery, in their words, fiery, quotes, political speech, when that was not really the, you know, the time for that. And so those are the issues I have. But so those are my takeaways from it, Clay, pretty much.
All right. Well, just help me with this. What is it that the Democrat, and I disagree with a lot of that. I'm not going to nitpick everything.
Sure.
I hate Obama, and I was voting against Obama.
I know you were. But, you know, I'm just saying, but people that were voting for Obama were voting for him.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. They weren't voting against the other people. Yeah. Okay. I need help understanding this threat to democracy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What is the threat to democracy? I mean, objectively, like,
Yeah, I can.
You were probably in this battle for a little while post January 6th.
Sure. I mean,
first off, you have to pretend January 6th was an insurrection to have this conversation. And that goes back to pretending.
I think you and I have talked about this a lot. My feelings on January 6th have completely evolved in 3 years.
Sure.
I think right after January 6th, I was like, oh my God, this is an insurrection. I mean, you watch it on TV. That's what it kind of looks like. What are you going to, and then all this information that's coming out. But then, you know, you get 3 years to kind of dissect what happened. And then, so my views are different on it now than it were then. Do I think some people there were bad actors? Absolutely. I do think that. Do I think people were just there protesting because they were angry? Yeah, I think that too. And that they just came in the building. They weren't trying to overthrow the government. Yeah, I think that absolutely is true too. I think, you know, both things can be true at once.
Agreed.
Is what I mean.
It was an out of control riot on that one side.
Yeah. There's
people hanging off the stairs in the building and their stuff on fire. I mean, it's a photo that will live in infamy forever. But I mean, like, what is the threat to democracy? And they keep talking about like voting rights for black people and women. Bro, everybody can vote. You have to get up off your ass and go do it.
Sure. I mean, where they're losing me on it, that portion, what you're talking about, is, okay, so now you're saying there's this threat to democracy. But what you're doing in response to this threat that you're saying is there, you're destroying it. That's what bothers me the most. It's like, so your reaction is actually an overreaction, you know, to this threat. Like, what I mean by that is this. Like, you've got all these different state prosecutors prosecuting Trump. And you have Letitia James, who ran on the platform, saying, oh, I'm going to get him. You know, and that's how she got elected. And then she goes and prosecutes him for something that was essentially a victimless crime. And it gets this huge judgment. Then you get Alvin Bragg, who prosecutes him on something that the feds declined to even do, like the porn star case, or what I call it. Then you got Fannie Willis, and we've been exhaustive, talked about all the problems with her, what she did, and I think she should lose her law license. So you do all these things to chip away at this, and then you try to get them off the ballot. Well, I mean, forget about that. I mean, there's that too.
That is a threat to democracy.
Yeah, that to me is exactly. I agree with you on that. I think that's a problem. Like you have this amazingly overreaction to where you're just trying to destroy this guy. And I'm not saying, look, people always be like, are you saying you like Trump? I'm not saying I like him, but what I don't like is destroying somebody because of their political opinions. Or because it's something I disagree with. Like, I think, you know, this country is about discourse and having opposing views. And you're trying to rip somebody apart because you don't like what he represents.
You don't like who he
or represents. Who he represents or what he represents or whatever you want to call it. And you're doing it just, I mean, to me, I feel like it's weaponizing. Like, I mean, I hate to use its term, but you're weaponizing the justice system. And that's not what the justice system is for.
I mean, they've yet to come out and say what Trump did they didn't like. What did Trump do that Democrats didn't like? So he, and they can use this election theft nonsense, whatever they want. They've still not shut up. They're convinced that somehow Trump stole the 2016 election as a private citizen.
Yeah.
And so for him to come back and have the audacity to suggest that 2020 may have been stolen. They want it both ways. They want to say that when he wasn't in charge, he had the ability to steal an election.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, well, if that was the case, couldn't he have done the same thing in 2020 when he was in charge?
Well,
they talking out both sides of their mouth.
Well, you said that the other day we were on the phone. I thought it was actually like really the best, simplest way was I've heard it put. They were really embarrassed about what happened in 2016. Like it was, and that started. If you think about it, that started with the Russia stuff. And then, you know, it snowballed into this whole effect of we hate this guy because he really kind of, I mean, think about it. You kind of hate people that embarrass you like that, just on a simple, like, you know, personal mm-hmm. level. And I think that was such an embarrassment because they thought under no circumstance that could Donald Trump win the 2016 election. Like they didn't believe that was possible. I don't, quite frankly, honestly, I don't think a lot of people did. Even the only people I ever heard at that time following it as closely as I did was Bill Maher, who I always talk about, and Michael Moore, of all people, the liberal yep. filmmaker. Those are the two people actually saying there that Trump is going to win this election. And the only two I ever heard during that whole time. And I think even, you know, I'll take you back to 2015, you know, right after he announced, he was on Morning Joe constantly in 2015. Mika and Joe, they were actually personal friends, all the three of them, prior to all this. And so they'd have him on the show. And the reason they did was they're like, this is entertaining because we never know what he's going to say. You know, and Donald would just call in to the show, and Hillary never would. Hillary was like, I'm not calling in. I'm too good for this stuff. I mean, she would occasionally, but – and so he was on all the time because they just liked – they liked the novelty of it, I think. And then the media, every time Trump would have a campaign – they'd cover it. They gave him a lot of free media because they didn't know what he was going to say, and it sells. Just like we talk about all the time, that stuff sells. And then they get mad. They're like, I can't believe he got elected. I'm like, well, y'all gave him a pretty good platform to do so. I mean, now you're blaming him? Like, you wanted to publicize him, and he got a lot of – because he's good at that. That's what he does very well. He's a good marketer. And he used that, and you used it all. Now you guys are complaining and blaming everybody else. I just think that's ridiculous, too.
I guess I'm not putting you on the spot here. I'm just continuing my train of thought. I still am trying to understand how Trump is a threat to democracy.
I mean, I can't answer that question. I don't know. I don't think.
And neither can they.
You know, I can't.
When everything they do, I mean, look at this New York thing. I saw yesterday where the judge in the E. Jean Carroll trial is forcing Trump to put up the $90 billion bond on this thing while it's appealed. And he had to put up the $500 million bond on the other one while it's appealed. And they're just laughing. I mean, there's nowhere in the rule of law do these things make any sense on any practical level. That is a threat to democracy. And Sean, I never really thought we should be locking up political people. Mm. You know, like it was fun to chant it with Hillary, lock her up, you know, hindsight's 2020. They really should have locked her ass up. But now, I don't, man, I want to play a clip real quick, and we're going to go to commercial.
Sure.
Alex Jones is saying exactly what I've been saying on this show for the last 6 months, that from November 5th to January 20th, this country's going to change as we know it forever, because there's no turning back from where we're at. I'm going to play this, and we're going to go straight to commercial.
War. So they want to induce us into violence, and they've said they're introducing legislation, the Democratic Party in the House and Senate, to strip Trump.
Real quick, this was last night on Tucker Carlson's show.
Of the Insurrection Act, which George Herbert Walker Bush used during the LA riots. And they're saying, oh, we know when he gets elected, if he does, there's going to be huge uprisings, and he's a white supremacist, so we've got to drive him from office that way. So they're planning to torch the country when he's president-elect, before he's in, and try to intimidate everyone. So Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all of this Hezbollah-Hamas protests, and again, I'm not against – I'm not for the war. I don't like how far Israel's gone. But they're invoking that and hyping that up now as their third rail, or their fifth column, is the Islamicist, to then burn the country down within weeks of him being president-elect, and thinking they can terrorize the American people and the establishment into removing Trump somehow during that period. They've already pre-announced that. So I'm telling you now, 8 months out, that's their plan.